Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing worship has been this morning. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries on this Mother's Day, May 10th, 2026. Today we pause to honor mothers, grandmothers, and all those who nurture and care for others. We bless the mothers among us, not just today, but every day. Because the truth is, a mother's work never really ends. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. It's a calling that requires patience, resilience, and a kind of love that often goes unseen and unthanked. I know the mothers that are listening to this can witness to this. There are moments of joy, also moments of sacrifice, exhaustion, and worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, it's in the steady, everyday faithfulness that something remarkable shines through. The Bible, time and again, uses the language of nurture and comfort to describe the very heart of God. God's love is compared to a mother's love, attentive, constant, fiercely protective, and endlessly compassionate. Whether we're celebrating our own mothers, missing them, or longing for healing in those relationships. Today reminds us that the nurturing spirit we see in moms is a reflection, however imperfect, of the nurturing nature of God Himself. Throughout Scripture, God is pictured as the one who gathers, comforts, and cares for His people with the tenderness of a loving parent. On this Mother's Day, let's begin at the heart of motherhood in Scripture and what it reveals about the one who sees, who cares, and who heals. Before we begin our study today, though, let's pray. Abba, Father, You are the one of all comfort and compassion. We thank You for this day and for the gift of mothers, those who helped give us life, those who raised us, and all who have nurtured us along the way. We ask for Your blessing on every mother and every heart that carries a mother's love. As we gather today, open our eyes to see Your nurturing heart reflected in the women around us. Heal wounds, bring comfort, and fill every empty space with Your presence. Speak to us through Your word. Remind us that You are the God who sees, who cares for us, and who heals our deepest hurts. Guide my words, Lord, and help me to bring forth this message in the way You wish me to. And let Your love be felt in this place today. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Today's message is part 16 in our Names of God series. It's a good moment to look back on the journey we've taken together. Each week, we've uncovered a new facet of who God is. Each name revealing something new about His character and why we can put our trust in Him. We began by exploring God as our Creator, Bore, and Elohim, the one who formed the stars and who still shapes every detail of our stories. We encountered Him as El Elyon, the one true King above all, an El Olam whose patience and strength have no limits. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. We sang about El Shaddai today, didn't we? It's one of my favorite songs. But we also see Him as El Roy, because He sees us completely, every joy and every struggle. Amen. Nothing escapes His notice. Sometimes we feel unseen. We feel like God has overlooked us and He's not seeing what we're going through, and we get discouraged. But He is El Roy, the one who sees every joy and every struggle. Amen. We've seen him as Yahweh Jireh, our provider, and Yahweh Rapha, our healer, and Yahweh Nissi, whose banner of victory goes before us. He is Yahweh Shalom, the one who brings peace, and Yahweh, the I Am, the one who simply is and who will always be. But Echad, he stands alone as the only true God. He's fought for us as Adonai, Nokem Li, led us as Yahweh Rohi, and remained present as Yahweh Shammah, the God who never leaves. And aren't you glad for that? He'll never leave you or forsake you. And sometimes, mothers, as we are raising our children, and sometimes we have to raise them alone, we don't have a man there with us. If that's you, Yahweh Shammah is a God who never leaves. He's always there with you, and he will help you. He is Kadosh Israel, the Holy One, and Yahweh Mikadishkam, the one who makes us holy. During Passover, we remembered him as Yahweh Sebaot, Lord of hosts, and Yahweh Moshiach, our Savior and Redeemer. He is also the Passover Lamb. And on Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate Ahai, the living God, and El Osefela, the one who does wonders, and Yeshua, the resurrection and the life. Oh, hallelujah. He is our source of joy, El Simchat Gili, our strength, El Sali, and our unshakable foundation, El Sur. We came to know him as El Haniman, the God who always keeps his word, and El Yeshuate, the God who rescues and lifts us up, offering hope no matter what we're facing. Last week, we met him as Elkanah, the jealous God, and Eldea, the God of knowledge. Week by week, these names have built a foundation. They remind us that God isn't just a concept or a distant being. He is present. He is personal. He is everything we need in every season. And as we parent our children, they go through different seasons. And it's encouraging and a comfort to know that we serve a God who will be there for us no matter what we're going through, no matter what our children are going through. And we can worship him and trust him as a God for every season. Amen. Hallelujah. This week, I'm going to revisit two names that we looked at earlier in this series, El Shaddai and Yahweh Rapha, or Rofi, and looking at them from a different perspective, from the side of God's heart that reflects the gentleness, care, and nurturing we often see in mothers. Because, yes, God is our Father, but he also embodies qualities that remind us of a mother's love. And this being Mother's Day, I have to do a Mother's Day message, right? Well, I don't have to, but I felt led to. So let's see what scripture reveals about this beautiful, often overlooked side of our God's character. I think it's a fitting study for Mother's Day, don't you? So El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. When we hear the name El Shaddai, it's usually translated God Almighty. But if we dig a little deeper into the Hebrew, we find something even more tender. The root of Shaddai is connected to the word shad, which means breast in Hebrew, suggesting nourishment, sustenance, and abundance. El Shaddai is not just the God who is powerful, but the God who is enough. The God who sustains, who provides, who nourishes his people as a mother nourishes her child. This image comes alive in Genesis 17, when God appears to Abraham and introduces himself as El Shaddai. Abraham and Sarah were old, past the age of childbearing, carrying the ache of unfulfilled promises. Into that place of emptiness, God says, "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers." It's Genesis 17, 1 through 2. The God who is more than enough meets Abraham and Sarah in their lack and promises life, fruitfulness, and blessing. Oh my goodness. This is encouragement, because if you are feeling like you're in a season of lack, then you are ready for El Shaddai to show up and fulfill those promises that you've been spoken over your life, that you received, whether in as a prophetic word or in the Bible as Bible verses. There's many promises in the Bible, and some of us, we've gotten prophetic words. So all those promises, he'll show up in your lack, and he'll make you be fruitful and bless you. Hallelujah. We just see the same heart in passages like Isaiah 66:13, where God says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. God isn't distant or detached. He draws close, offering comfort that is as intimate and reassuring as a mother's embrace. His sufficiency isn't cold or clinical. It's deeply personal, meeting us in the most vulnerable places. And isn't that where we usually run to our moms when we're going through something and we need a hug? We need our moms. And we run to our mom, Mom, I need a hug. I'm going through this. And she wraps us in her arms and comforts us and helps us. And it's very intimate and deeply personal. And all through the Old Testament, God's described as the one who sustains and carries his people. In Deuteronomy 32:10-12, he uses the image of God surrounding, instructing, and caring for Israel as the apple of his eye. Wow, that's, how many of us feel like we're the apple of our mother's eye? She just loves us so much, and she's always doting on us and telling us how special we are and what a good child we are, and how much she loves to watch us grow and mature. And just, I hope that's your kind of mother that you have. I know my mother does. I talk to her every week, even though she doesn't live in the same state as me. I talk to her every month, and she frequently encourages me and tells me how proud she is of me and how much she loves me. And sometimes we go through the bad things, her comfort and her encouragement carries us and sustains us through those times, whether we're a child or an adult, right? Hosea 11 paints a picture of God bending down to feed Israel, teaching them to walk, lifting them to his cheek. These are images of nurture and tenderness, reminding us that God's strength is inseparable from his care. And it's how our mothers treat us as we're growing up. She reaches down to feed us. She taught us to walk, right? And lifted us up in her arms and kissed us on the cheek. What a beautiful picture. In a world that often feels like it demands more than we have to give, El Shaddai stands as the one who is always enough. He is the source of life, the wellspring of comfort, the one who meets every need, not just with power, but with gentle, nourishing love that mothers know so well. When we feel empty, worn out, or unable to keep going, we can look to El Shaddai, the God who is more than sufficient for the strength and comfort we need. And if you didn't have that kind of mother, a nurturing mother, a caring mother, maybe your mother was not a good mother. Maybe she left you when you're a baby. Or maybe your mother died when you were young, and so you didn't get the care of a mother. I pray there were other women in your life to mother you. But even if there wasn't, if you had no one to mother you, God can still mother you, because he nurtures you, he comforts you, he sustains you, he does all the things that a mother does. So you can still turn to El Shaddai, who is more than sufficient to strengthen you and comfort you in your needs and to sustain you. Amen. Next, I want to revisit Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. I know I'm glad he heals. I am so thankful for the blood that was shed on the cross that heals us, the stripes that Yeshua took. There's something almost universal about the way a mother responds to pain. From scraped knees to shattered dreams, mothers are often the first to notice when something's wrong. I know I do, and I can tell when my son is going through something, and I say, "What's up? What's wrong? Talk to me." That's what mothers do. They check on you. They say, "What's going on? Tell me. You don't look like you're feeling well. Do you have a temperature?" They're the ones who reach for the bandages, who hold us when the tears won't stop, who whisper comfort in the small hours of the night. Their touch doesn't always fix the problem, but somehow it makes the pain bearable. Now, I'm remembering a time when I was a little girl, and I think I was only 4 or 5 years old, and I was playing outside, and we had like a gravel driveway, and I slipped and I scraped my knees up, but I wanted to act brave and I didn't want my mom to see me all struggling with that pain. So I went and curled up next to the side of the house and held my knees and cried until I got myself under control. And then I wiped my eyes and I went in and said, "Mom, look what I did." And I showed her my scraped knees, and Mama knew I'd been crying, but she also had the wisdom to not embarrass me and not make me feel like I had done anything wrong by hiding my tears from her. She just said, "Oh, well, that looks like it could be painful. Let me put some bandage on it." And she took me in the bathroom and washed up the scrapes and put the, I think it was iodine we used at that time. Now we use triple antibiotic a lot, but back then it was iodine. Put the iodine on there and the bandages and said, "Are you okay now?" "Yeah, I'm fine." So that's what mothers do. They bandage your wounds and they take care of you and help you through this pain, make the pain bearable. But it's not just about physical wounds either. Mothers seem to have a sixth sense for hurts that don't show on the outside. Quiet heartbreak, the hidden fear. They draw close, they listen, and then offer reassurance that we're not alone. That instinct to comfort and heal is one of the purest gifts a mother can give. So if you're hurting, you're wounded inside, you're going through a heartbreak, I hope you have a mother that can comfort you. But if you don't, you have a God who can. His name is Yahweh Rophe. He heals the brokenhearted. In the same breath, scripture tells us that God is Yahweh Rophe, the Lord who heals. He's the one who binds up the brokenhearted, who comes close in our pain, who comforts us when we're hurting. Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." See, it's straight Bible. It's straight Bible. It's a picture of God stooping down, tending to us like the most attentive parent. When we see mothers offering comfort, we catch a glimpse of God's own heart. The same tenderness, the same desire to make things right, the same willingness to enter into our pain. These are echoes of the divine. God uses mothers and anyone who nurtures as living reminders of his healing presence in our lives. Nurturing and healing aren't separate gifts. They're deeply connected. Healing often begins with someone who cares enough to show up, to listen, to gently tend the wound. Whether it's a mother's embrace or God's quiet reassurance, both speak the same truth. You are not alone, and your pain matters. In the hands of Yahweh Rapha, even our deepest wounds can become places of comfort and restoration. Hallelujah. Isn't that comforting to know? The titles Yahweh Rapha and Jehovah Rapha are two different ways of expressing the same Hebrew name for God, which means the Lord who heals. Both names draw from the Hebrew root, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is often pronounced Yahweh or rendered as Jehovah, the unique covenant name God uses for himself. The word Rafi refers to a healer or physician, while Rapha is the verb form meaning to heal or to restore. When these terms come together, they highlight God's identity as the ultimate healer, one who brings restoration, not just to bodies, but to hearts and spirits as well. This name of God first appears in a dramatic moment in Israel's history. After escaping from Egypt, the Israelites found themselves at Marah, faced with bitter, undrinkable water. God directed Moses to toss a specific piece of wood into the water, transforming it so the people could drink. It's here in Exodus 15:26 that God declares himself as the one who heals. I am the Lord who heals you. This is a declaration that's not just about physical recovery. It's a promise that God is able to restore, renew, and make whole every aspect of life, spiritually, emotionally, and morally. And it's an interesting story that we read, and that it's in this context this name is introduced. Because when the Israelites arrived at Marah, they were desperate, parched, and exhausted after days in the wilderness. The only water they found was bitter, undrinkable. Their hope turned to frustration, and they cried out in disappointment. God's response was unexpected. He told Moses to throw a piece of wood into the water, and suddenly what was bitter became sweet. And I always wondered, what kind of wood was that? I researched it, and I think that some people believe it was a moringa. We recently bought a plant called the miracle tree. That one berry will make anything you eat taste sweet for the next 15 to 30 minutes. So, I don't know. But it's kind of interesting that he had it to throw a piece of wood in, and that wood made the water sweet. This isn't just a story about ancient Israel. It's a picture for us, for our lives. Every one of us encounter bitter waters, those seasons or situations that leave a bad taste in our mouths. I know I've been there. Can I get a witness? How many of you have been through some bitter seasons? Had to drink some bitter waters, as the saying goes. Maybe it's a relationship that's gone wrong, a loss that feels unfair, or wounds that just won't heal. Sometimes the bitterness is obvious. Sometimes it's buried deep. But there's hope. Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, still meets people at their bitter waters. He's not afraid of our disappointment, our questions, or our pain. He steps into those places with us and brings transformation. Sometimes God changes the circumstances. Other times he changes us, softening our hearts, giving us strength to forgive, helping us see the new perspective. You know, you've heard the saying, sometimes he takes the child out of the storm, sometimes he takes the storm out of the child, and others, he leads you through it, leads you through the storm. So what are the bitter waters you're facing right now? Where does life feel unfixable? Story of Marah is an invitation. Bring your bitterness into something sweet, maybe an act of forgiveness, or a step of faith, or just a word of truth. God's promise isn't just to heal our bodies, but to restore our souls. The same God who made the waters of Marah drinkable is able to bring sweetness and new life where we least expect it, even in the most difficult places. Hallelujah. I'm happy for that, because there's been some times where I've really needed the Lord to bring some sweetness into my life, going through bitter, difficult seasons, difficult places. And I needed him to restore my soul and heal my body. So I'm thankful for a God who cares, who has paid the price, and who will step into my situation and personally heal me where I need healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there's something I want to be honest about for my own journey. I've met some people, some very sincere seekers, whose so-called guided trips to heaven describe seeing a divine family. They'll say that they saw God the Father, Yeshua the Son, and the Holy Spirit as the mother. It's an idea that sounds appealing, especially for those longing for the nurturing side of God, and it fits comfortably within a Trinitarian perspective. But it's crucial that we test every vision and experience against the foundation of God's word. The Shema rings out clear and true. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. And you know, this is one of the foundational scriptures that we hold to and believe in at Lots of Love Ministries. We believe in one true God. God is not divided. He's not three gods. He doesn't operate as a committee or a family of separate divine persons. He is utterly, beautifully one. God. Genesis tells us humanity was created in God's image. Male and female, he created them in Genesis 1:27. Before God drew out Hava, whom most know as Eve, from Adam's side, that first human contained within himself the fullness of both masculine and feminine. This teaches us that the image of God holds both sets of qualities, unified perfectly in his oneness, strength and tenderness, protection and nurture. Think about that. Adam, one man, one human being, containing both the masculine and feminine attributes of humanity. Then God to make a helpmate for him, his wife, a partner, draws out the feminine and puts it in Hava, in Eve, and creates a woman. And that woman is brought to Adam. And he says, now this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And they become one, the first married couple, male and female. But together, united as one, a husband and a wife, fills the fullness of God. And I believe that is why homosexuality, same-sex marriage, is such an abomination in God's eyes, because it misrepresents what he created in the beginning and what the mandate on humanity to be fruitful and multiply. I'm sorry, two men cannot be fruitful. Two women cannot be fruitful and multiply. You have to have a man and a woman to be fruitful and multiply. We each carry part of God that he places in us, and we come together and become one in his image, together, husband and wife. And throughout the scriptures, God reveals himself as Father, but he doesn't shy away from describing his character with motherly imagery. In Isaiah 66:13, he promises, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And in Hosea 11, God is pictured as a parent teaching Israel to walk, lifting them to his cheek, and bending down to feed them. We talked about these verses earlier. And even Yeshua, weeping over Jerusalem, in Matthew 23:37, uses the image of a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings. Let's be clear. I don't teach that the Holy Spirit is a separate mother figure. God is one. But all those nurturing, comforting, deeply compassionate qualities we see in mothers are not separate from God. They're part of who he is. He is the source of every good thing, fullness of love itself. When mothers comfort and care for their children, they're showing us a glimpse of the perfect, unified heart of God. And aren't our mothers a good thing for us? I love my mother. You love your mother? Mothers are good. They're a blessing. These passages don't mean God is mother in a literal sense, but they remind us that the nurturing, comforting, and compassionate attributes we see in mothers come from God Himself. He is the source of all true comfort, the one who carries both the strength of a father and the gentleness of a mother. And God in His wisdom created male and female, and He put the masculine in Adam and the feminine in Hava and brought them together. And this is the example. And when our parents raise us, we're to see the fullness of who God is in His masculine attributes and His feminine attributes. Now, this doesn't mean that if you are a single parent that you can't show some of these other attributes that's typically, like if you're a mother, single mother, doesn't mean you can't be a provider and show strength, courage, like a father would. And it doesn't mean that if you're a single dad, you can't be nurturing and caring and gentle like a mother would be. Sometimes we have to step into roles that maybe we weren't created for. And then there's those mothers and fathers who they seem to have switched roles. The mother is more like a father, and the father is more like a mother. And you have stay-at-home dads and working mothers. That's okay, too. The point is that we show the fullness of God to our children in how we parent them as husband and wife. Amen? So while I understand the longing to see both strength and nurture in the divine, we don't need to split God up to find them. The one true God is both. He is always more than enough. So there, if you don't have any parents, you're an orphan. Maybe you were raised in the foster system. Maybe there were father figures and mother figures in your life. I hope there was. But even if you had no one, there's God, and He's more than enough. He has both the masculine and feminine aspects of His character, and He can do anything and everything that you need. He can give you comfort. He can nurture you. He can also fight for you and protect you. I mean, it's just everything. Amen? But let's remember again the foundation of our faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Found in Deuteronomy 6:4. He reveals Himself in various ways, always as the one true God. Amen? God's oneness means He is not lacking in any good quality. He is fully complete, embodying both the protector and the nurturer. When we see sacrificial, nurturing love in a mother, it's a glimpse of the perfect, unified heart of the one true God who says, I will comfort you. As we wrap up today, let's remember what we've learned. God is not distant or detached. He sees us, every joy, every struggle, every hidden place in our hearts. He cares deeply for His children, reaching out with comfort and strength, just as a loving mother would. I know many of you mothers are very strong. I like to think I am. People tell me I'm strong. I've mostly raised my son on my own. And sometimes you have to be strong. But sometimes you feel weak. Sometimes you feel like you can't go on. It's too difficult. That's where we have to turn to El Shaddai. And And he is the one who nurtures us, who binds up our wounds and restores hope in us, and allows us to continue the journey of doing what he called us to do as mothers. Amen. We've seen how throughout scripture, God's character includes both the fierce protection of a father and the gentle care of a mother. He is the source of every good and nurturing thing we experience in this life. God works through faith, prayers, and sacrifices of mothers and of all who nurture in every generation. Maybe it's a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle, a teacher, a neighbor. I've had all of them in my life, caring for me, nurturing for me. I hope you have people who can nurture you, care for you. And yes, as we're adults, we still need that. That's why we have to turn to El Shaddai often, because we don't have those mother figures and father figures in our life. But in the church, maybe we'll have more fathers and mothers being raised up to parent us, because we need fathers and mothers. Amen. If you feel overlooked, weary, or unsure, remember, you are seen, you are valued, and you are loved by the God who never misses a detail. So if you need a father or a mother, first turn to El Shaddai, to Yahweh Rapha. Get your healing, get your nurturing, your comfort from him first. He's more than enough. And then he will bring you into places where you can find people to help you, to raise you up, to give you strength, to do life with. Amen? You have to trust him. Trust him for divine appointments, to bring people into our lives who are safe for us and will be a help, not a hindrance. Amen? Pray you find comfort in his sufficiency, healing in his presence, and courage to keep nurturing those around you, knowing the God who sees and cares is always with you. He is truly El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one who nourishes, sustains, and provides for his children with the abundance and tenderness of a loving mother. In him, every need is met, and every heart can find rest. Amen? Let's close in prayer. I'm going to pray for mothers especially. Abba, our loving Father, today we lift up every mother, those with children in their arms, those with children in their hearts, and those who nurture in the ways the world may never see, natural mothers and spiritual mothers. All the mothers that you have raised up to care for us, we thank you for their love, their sacrifice, and their tireless care. We pray for strength, for weary hearts, for healing of old wounds, and for comfort in moments of loneliness or loss. For spiritual mothers, mentors, and all who pour themselves out in quiet, faithful service, renew their hope, restore their joy, and remind them how deeply you see and treasure them. For those who long to nurture but carry the ache of waiting or loss, let your presence be their peace and your love their assurance. Remind them that every act of kindness, every prayer, every tear is precious in your sight. God who sees and cares, bless and sustain every woman walking the path of love and nurture. May they find rest in your sufficiency, courage in your company, and joy in knowing they reflect your heart to the world. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. Now, as you spend time with your mothers today, or remember those who have gone before you, or even if you find yourself praying for reconciliation and healing in your relationship with your mother, may the God who sees and cares meet you right where you are and bring shalom to your home.